97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Wake up. Welcome into Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. We're glad to have you here. I'm Mark Cox, along with Bo Matthews and Carl Middleman.
Hi there.
Ready to talk about some great stuff today. Some Canadian fishing, which sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. Of the people in the room, who's gone to Canada to fish? The producer.
I have. Carl.
Not either one of the hosts. We are not qualified. Well, we're not qualified to talk about it, but I grew up in Minnesota, so of course I did some fishing up there.
I did a little bit of fishing in Canada many years ago on a place called the Fraser River up north of Seattle, but it was underwhelming.
Underwhelming? Yeah. I like to be just whelmed.
I don't want to be overwhelmed. I wanted to be overwhelmed, but I wasn't overwhelmed.
You know, one area of this world that has always intrigued me and I've never gone is the Boundary Waters canoe area, which is, no motors, all canoeing, all rafting. You know, it has to be manpowered to get across on those waterways. That's at the top of Minnesota. And it's just, I've seen pictures. I mean, the state of Minnesota is beautiful, you know, especially if you can see it from the view of the back of a mosquito, because you can fly those around.
No kidding.
Are there really 10,000 lakes?
14,000, actually.
Oh.
Check with me.
I have fished at Izades Resort in Minnesota.
Our family used to go up to north. We'd go... Going up north, and we go up and, you know, take over a whole resort. It was fantastic. Actually, that was the link to the first radio station I walked into in Brainerd, Minnesota, because the morning guy of that radio station owned the Eagle's Nest Lodge where our family stayed, and I was a little intrigued by radio, and he goes, "Why don't you come with me?"
Well, because he heard that voice even back then.
At 14.
Yeah, exactly, at 14.
That was the first time I got to go in and just sit there and sweep the floors and get him coffee. It was just...
Nice.
And here I am. But anyway, last weekend, I was shocked. Went out, my wife and I decided on Mother's Day. We don't have children, but we wanted to enjoy the day. Went for a drive, and we went out to... We made it as far as Cuba, and we were going to go to some antique...
It's about 60 miles out of
the
city.
We were going to get a bite to eat and go to some antique stores. We see a flea market right there, Union.
Yeah.
We jump off. She's like, oh, good, we can stretch our legs. So we're walking around. They're selling firearms at a couple of these booths. And I don't know, I didn't ask the question, but I didn't know... I mean, there's obviously no Wi-Fi. Are they doing background checks or whatever? I was shocked because the prices of the firearms at this flea market... were probably 100% marked up.
Of course.
Because what I could buy in a store for $325 was $450. Sure. It was like shocking. And they had a huge array of firearms. I just thought, I don't know if that...
Well, it's legal. I can sell a firearm to you. I can sell a firearm to Carl. I could set up a booth somewhere and sell my firearms to the public. But the law is the same.
It is.
It's traced back to you.
It comes back on you. You are not allowed to sell a firearm to somebody who's not supposed to have one. So if you make that transaction and you don't get the name of who you're selling the weapon to, you know, they could come back on you.
Mark,
you're breaking the law if that happens.
Right.
So hopefully people, you know, would do that in good conscience. And if they're not, then they deserve to be arrested for it.
Well, so my thought was, okay, if I wanted to buy one of your firearms, and you knew that I was crazy as a outhouse rat, you would probably not sell it to me, right?
Correct.
Well, how do you know if you're at a flea market, you know?
Ultimately, I'm not responsible for you, but I mean, again, what you're speaking to there speaks to the cracks in the floor of our system, and the cracks are that if you've had a domestic violence situation in your past, you're not going to pass a background check. If you've been in a mental ward, that may or may not be on your background check. Right?
Right.
So there are cracks in that. That's what needs to be strengthened. We don't need more gun laws. We just need to strengthen the ones that we have to make sure that those sorts of loopholes, if you want to call them that, aren't there anymore. Remember you had the situation for a while where the guy was convicted of domestic assault when he was in the military, but the records never got transferred to his civilian record. So he went and was able to buy a handgun, and then he went out and committed a crime with it. Those are the kinds of things they need to fix in my opinion.
And this is my point. I am a law-abiding gun owner. I believe in background checks at the level we're at now. Nothing crazy, but it was just shocking to me. And a matter of fact, as soon as I saw the prices, I was like, "Ooh, these prices are way up there." But I guess you know they're paying for that that service. But I believe in background checks. It's a line of defense, whether they're you know lying on the form or not. It at least it's an effort.
Right.
That's my point.
Risky proposition, I think. Personally, to go sell your firearms in a situation like that.
Absolutely.
Because you don't know for sure who you're selling them to.
And
whereas if I sell them to you or Carl, at least you know, I know I'm dealing with...
A level of crazy that's right here.
Relatively sane people. No, yes. I'm just kidding.
Word radio, not so much.
Thanks.
But yeah, just shocked at that. Did you celebrate Mother's Day in a big way?
Oh, we went camping.
Oh, see?
Absolutely. And then somebody, I ran into one of our account managers and I asked her, so what are you doing for Mother's Day? And she said, oh, my family's coming over. We're going out to lunch. What are you doing? And I'm like, we're going camping. She said, and your wife agreed to that? I'm like, yeah, she agreed to that. She was her idea. So, I was off the hook. We just hopped in the camper and went to the Lake of the Ozarks and stayed in a campground down there. It was fun.
That's cool.
It wasn't as windy and horrible as it has been.
It was windy on the way back, like 25-mile-an-hour gusts.
Right.
It was, yeah.
And I thought of you because a buddy of mine sold a Class A. It was like a 2006 model, but it's top notch. He sold it, on the open market with no permit, no background check. Sold it to a guy. So I thought he was getting out of the camping world completely, which, I mean, when you're in a Class A, you're not really camping.
Glamping.
You're more glamping. You have all the, you know, indoor plumbing, things like that.
Well,
but he tells me, no, what we're going to do is we're going to get one of those campers that slide into the bed of a pickup. Have you seen that technology lately? These things are massive. I mean,
yes.
Couches, kitchens with an island and fireplace in the back of your pickup.
A little different than the pickup
they used,
yeah,
like,
that we had when I was growing up.
Yeah, me too. Like the camper shell.
Yeah, the shell on the back.
That's all you get. But yeah, those things run 30, 40, 50,000. They've got those ones, the campers that expand up, so it's got, soft-sided. But I thought, man.
Saw those all over out west when we were out there.
It's got better on gas, better on taxes, too. You don't have to pay personal property tax on those.
Really?
Yeah, because it doesn't have wheels.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
I think Bo might have just... Everyone listening is going, huh.
I've cracked the code.
And you have made some sales.
I just think it's a genius idea. Here's the other thing. You get to your campground destination, put the legs down, your camper's standing there, you can pull your truck out from underneath it, and you can go have transportation instead of dragging something or pulling something.
Yeah, but my guess is it still counts as a trailer.
I'm pretty sure.
You think because it doesn't have wheels?
And it doesn't land on your personal property tax.
Okay, all right, interesting.
I'm pretty sure.
Until they close that loophole.
No, I just
ruined it.
Yeah, I did. Whoops, sorry about
that,
guys.
Well, at least the legislature went out of session at 6 p.m. on Friday, so they can't get us this year.
Next year.
the morning before the taping of this show, I sent you the article about magnet fishing.
Yes.
Pretty cool. But, I'm going to be the guy that pulls out the old rusty fork that somebody dropped in the river and not what that guy pulled out.
Yeah, but maybe Jesse James ate off that fork. Who knows? It could have been a treasure.
Yeah, or in Lake Mead, you'll get the 55-gallon drum.
With the body in it.
The body in it.
I think they found a few. But this I've never heard the term magnet fishing before. Now, you may look at me and you can picture me in Bermuda shorts with a metal detector on the beach. But this is going to be my new pastime, I guarantee you. I do have a metal detector, Mark, but I've never used it. I've never dug, but I want to do this magnet fishing.
So what, this guy found a safe,
He found a safe. There's people that have found all kinds of things. And it reminded me of a story down in Orlando when I was living there. We're driving one day, and my wife and I are brand new to Central Florida, and we're driving across this bridge over this lake. I'm like, wow, nobody's on this water. It's cool out. It's beautiful. So I get on the radio the next Monday morning. I'm like, why is nobody on Lake Jessup? They said that's where they put the vagrant alligators.
Gators.
And the so they dump them, they grab them from your neighborhood, dump them in this lake. Later that year, Daytona Bike Week happens. FBI comes in and finds that they were taking stolen motorcycle frames, throwing them over that bridge of that lake, and they were bringing them out by the hundreds. That's what they would just pull up in the middle of the night, offload their truck of stolen motorcycle frames, and away they go.
Keep but, the engines and everything? Is that what they do?
They would keep the they would keep the valuable
strip
parts.
It for parts.
Can you believe that? That's a genius idea.
Because who's going to go looking for it?
Or Or like Lake Mead. Let's dump the body in the barrel in Lake Mead. Nobody will ever find it.
40 years later, oh wait, the water's gone down.
Do you think that they will find the? Do you think they'll be able to close that case?
I think they probably will.
They already know
him because of his shoes. They figured out what year it was because of the shoes he was wearing.
Wow.
They can find out who this person is.
That's crazy.
I've got shoes that are 15 years old. How would they? If they found me wearing them, would they think that I died 15 years ago? I mean, seriously, they don't know when the guy bought those shoes.
I think they were new shoes that they were custom made.
Okay.
Still had the Payless.
That must have been it.
Still had the Payless slip sticker on the bottom of it.
The mafia guy.
Here's what
Payless.
I loved. I loved the headline that said the fines in Lake Mead harken back to the days when the mob was active in Las Vegas. You want me to believe they're not still active in Las Vegas? Maybe they're not dumping bodies in Lake Mead anymore, but my guess is if there's gambling going on, there's a criminal element there.
Yeah, but you're painting a with one brush. No, if you have not, did you love The Godfather?
I did.
Did you watch The Offer yet?
No,
it's on Paramount Plus.
It is, and I've been watching it. Check it out. This is your inside homework. It's about how The Godfather was made. Now I don't know if it's true or not. It seems like it is, but there was a lot of pushback from. You, Tony and the boys.
Sinatra didn't want that made.
That's anyway, search magnet fishing. You'll enjoy that.
All right. Speaking of fishing, if you've always wanted to go to a lodge up in Canada, like really remote fishing, this is pretty cool. We're going to tell you all about it coming up. Pipestone Lodge, it's called, on Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. Welcome back to the Great Outdoors and Second Amendment Radio. I had to say it in that order this time because we're about to talk about the Great Outdoors in a fantastic way. Carl has gotten to go do something I've always wanted to do, which is spend time fishing up in Canada, like a long time. You've gone for how many years since 2017?
2017. We didn't get to go the last 2 years because...
Yes.
You know, the administration closed the border for us.
Yeah, the country's closed.
Yeah.
I grew up fishing in Minnesota, which is kind of like Canada light. It's close. It's close.
Well, this is close then. Let's introduce our guest. Art Perchulek is joining us. He's the owner and proprietor of the Pipestone Lodge up in Emo, Canada. Now, Bo, that's just across the border from International Falls, Minnesota. So you might know something about that neck of the woods.
I've been close. I've been to Duluth and what was the town? Cloquet, Minnesota. Is that right up there?
Yep.
I think so. How are you?
Good, yourself?
Good. And his wife, Jenny, is part of this program as well.
Jenny makes the best fish.
So you've actually been to his place?
Yeah. Pipestone Lodge on Pipestone Lake.
I had no idea. Well, welcome to the program, sir. How are you?
Thank you. I'm doing good.
So tell us, my first question for you is, are things finally getting back to normal for your industry? Because what a challenge you faced in particular. As somebody who depends on people coming from the United States to fish.
Yeah, well, like you said, we are like 100% American guests, and since 2020, the border was closed for what, 2 seasons,
mm-hmm.
And now we are slowly getting back. The border is open again now. You have to be fully vaccinated to cross the border with the rife can. But we're slowly getting back. We're going to have an open season this year.
You know, all over the country, North America, you know, weddings were being put off left and right. But as soon as there was a glimpse of hope, they started like booking them up. And now weddings are like, you know, backlogged for 2 or 3 years. People are trying to get that done. Is that the same situation with your reservations? Like Carl is, you know, a customer and a client for a long time. Are you having your former guest trying to get in to get a week to come up and go fishing with you?
Yes. Actually, we are now. So it's, well, people have been booked 2 years and been waiting to get up, and so these guests that have been booked for 2 years now are starting to come back.
That's great. So kind of set the stage for us a little bit, Art, for people who've never been to Pipestone Lodge or seen Pipestone Lake and everything you got up there. What are people in store for if they book a trip with you?
Well, the thing is, like you said, we're just across the border from International Falls, Minnesota, which is about 40 minutes across the border. And what we do is, even though we're so close to the border, we're very secluded, because what we do is we'll come and pick you up with we've got a 22-foot boat, and we'll come pick you up at the dock. We'll take you about 8 miles, and then we have to go over a mechanical portage. What happens is that this thing comes in the water, picks up our boat, takes us across into another lake. And then we've got another about 8 or 10 miles to go by boat, and our lodge is on this island.
So what is your season up there for guests to be visiting up at your place at Pipestone Lodge?
Well, we are opening up on a week on Saturday, which is our May long weekend. So that'd be the 21st. And we usually go until about the middle of to the end of September.
Ooh, so it's really kind of a short season. You never have winter guests. You never have winter guests up there, correct?
We had before.
We do get a couple of people that do come up and they'll visit, because it's like 30, 40 below out here in 4 feet of ice, so it's a little chilly.
And you stay there, or do you go to Florida or Cancun or something like that?
No, we go to Palm Springs in California for the winters.
Well, on your lodge, let me ask you, how many cabins, or what's the setup like? Is it primitive camping, or what's it like?
Well, we've got 8 cabins, and they range from 1 to 2 bedrooms. You know, some cabins can sleep 3 or 4, some up to 8 cabins, and they've got everything. I mean, we've got the flush toilets, hot and cold water. I mean, Wi-Fi.
Wow.
Whoa, Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi at the lodge.
You got the...
At the lodge.
Is that the Elon Musk Starlink thing? Is that how you get that up there?
Yes, it is. Actually, it is, yeah.
Look at me. Well, I'm just thinking about this with the business down so much, and I'm sure there's a lot of lodges up there, but we are talking to Art Perchalock. There's got to be a ton more fish. Nobody's been fishing the lakes and the rivers up there. They're all waiting
for
you.
That's true. We actually just last year we went up there and just did some bass fishing and some walleye fishing, and it's quite fun.
Yeah, tell us a bit more about the fishing and what you're catching. I mean, I've fished through the years for walleye, obviously trout and bass. You've got a lot of choices, don't you?
Yeah, well, we've got our smallmouth bass. We also got quite a few largemouth bass. Then we got our muskies, our muskellunge, our lake trout, and our walleye, and our northern pike, too. So we got quite a variety of fish up here.
Well, his name has a fish name in
perch,
it. Perch. Yeah,
perch.
Yeah. We used to go perch fishing up in Goose Lake up in Minnesota many years. So are you an American or are you a Canadian, sir?
I'm a Canadian.
Okay. So, and did you grow up in that area? Is this why you got into this this world?
Yeah, we actually were up probably about 200 miles north of where we got our water lodge. But yes, but I've lived on the water all my life pretty well.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So occasionally, I'm sure this happens fairly frequently with people who think this would be a good idea, and then they show up, and then you end up with somebody like Carl. and what do you do when somebody like Carl shows up at the lodge?
City slicker.
Yeah, I was.
Actually, I mean, we got guide service and stuff like that, and I'm always around, and I like to go around fishing with the guests too. So it's a lot of fun. I mean, once you get to it, it's fun.
How long has Pipestone Lodge been in existence?
Well, we've had it now for 28 years, and it's been in existence since the early 70s.
Wow.
So 50, yeah, so it's been quite a while, yes.
Well, I mean, here's what I love, and maybe Carl has, I'm sure Carl's got a few questions for you as well. I love the fact that when Carl told us about this interview and we're going to have Art on, he referred to him as my friend Art. He's been up there a few times, and your customers end up turning into friends. I think that's great.
Oh, yes. I mean, Carl came up with his friend, Tom Mesmer, who's been coming up here for, probably about 25 years with us. And we've become, like you said, good friends.
That's fantastic.
My first year I went up there, 2017, I caught 20 fish. And I documented every single one of them because I did not think I would do that well.
Right.
And then the next year I caught 5 fish.
Uh-oh.
And then the last year we went, 2019, I caught like about a dozen. So I'm happy. It's all about the camaraderie and
sure.
being with your friends and drinking the place dry.
Fish stories. Because you guys are so remote, where do you guys get provisions to restock the resort?
Well, we go to town once a week, and it's like a whole day. I mean, like I said, it takes us about an hour to get to our vehicle. Then we go to town, which is another hour. And then, of course, we have to shop, so then we come back. Once a week we go to town to get all the fresh stuff.
But you have fresh water on the property. You mentioned flushing toilets. Whoa, indoor plumbing. Mm-hmm. You don't have to truck in the water. You've got plenty of water around there, right?
No, our water is so clean and so clear. I mean, you can just drink water out of the lake. It's so good. But we've got a system there, a water system that purifies everything and cleans it up for us.
Well, in the winter months in St. Louis, they bring in the boat show and the RV show and things like that, and that's where a lot of people will find places like yours. Other than this radio interview, how do you guys market Pipestone Lodge?
Well, we got, like you say, the sports shows. We usually do shows in St. Louis, Chicago, Minnesota, stuff like that. And, of course, the internet is big, and then we got a couple of magazines.
Wow, cool. PipestoneLodge.com is the website for people that want to check it out. I remember when I was a kid, we used to fish in Lake Erie all the time, and we were forever, like, it was legendary. We were forever paranoid back in the 80s that we were going to somehow drift across the Canadian line. And the rumor was, if that happens, there's some evil Canadian Mountie over there they're going to take your boat and all the fish on it and all that. How are the rules different in Canada than they are in the U.S. when it comes to limits and all that stuff? Is there any difference that you need to know about?
Well, where we are there on Pipestone, we do kind of have a size limit on our walleyes. You're allowed to keep four walleyes and four bass and stuff. And what we do is we release all our big fish in order to, so they can, because they're our main spawners.
Yeah.
And so, like our lake isn't supplied at all. I mean, it's all natural.
Yeah, I have a Canadian fishing license.
Oh, okay.
Show
so you
off.
Do have to have
well, you
that.
have to have a Canadian fishing license, and then you have to get your fishing permit.
I want to hear more about this evil Canadian Mountie.
It was a rumor. I mean, we never saw anybody, but that was back before GPS and all that, right?
Right.
You'd go up there with a depth finder, and you'd be out around West Sister Island, and you'd be looking for the right place to fish for walleye. And the rumor was, because the limits were so much less in Canada, that if you happen to drift across the Canadian line, because you can't see, obviously, it's not like there's a
there's no
line
dots.
In the water,
like
the dots aren't there
pool.
Like on the map. The rumor was if they catch you and you were over your limit, they'd confiscate your boat and all that stuff. So we are always very paranoid about where we were in relation to that island.
The evil Canadian Mountie.
Yeah, we didn't know who they were.
Dudley Do Wrong, as opposed to Dudley Do Right.
We never saw anybody. We never had the problem, but there were always rumors about
now,
that. That's great.
We bumped in with one of these nights by Eagles. Art was at one of the, in fact, the last show where Glenn Frey was alive.
Oh, wow.
It actually took place
in
St. Louis.
That's a nice touch.
That was.
Well, very cool. Do you have any plans to come back to St. Louis anytime soon?
Well, we were supposed to do a show there this year, but of course it got canceled. But we're hoping that next February that we will be in St. Louis.
Good.
And of course, I got my friends there I want to visit, like Carl.
There you go.
Like Carl. So nice.
And are you booked up for this entire season? Or are you still looking for bookings for 22?
Oh, we're still looking for bookings for 22. The thing is that to come across the border, you got to be fully vaccinated. And so some people are not getting vaccinated, so they had to cancel, and they're hoping that by next year that we can be able to come across without having been vaccinated. So that's why we've got some openings, is because of that.
So what does that mean now, Art? Is it different in Canada than it is in the U.S.? Is that two shots and a booster, or what do they consider fully vaccinated?
Yes, it is. Yeah, two shots and a booster,
Okay. All right. They got you. They're going to get you there, right?
If you want to go fishing,
you're going to get the booster.
That's right. All right. Well, Art, thank you very much for joining us on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, or in this case, the Great Outdoors and Second Amendment.
Yeah, exactly.
And it looks like I'm going to be seeing Art at the end of June.
Oh, are you booking?
I think we're already booked.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Yeah, they're booked. They're booked.
All right, a pleasure talking to you, sir. Art Perchalock, look him up online at pipestonelodge.com if you want to go to Canada and do a little fishing in the wild, wild blue yonder. It's
beautiful.
Please
tell Jenny we said hello.
Thank you very much, and I will do that, Carl. Thank you.
Excellent. Art Perchalock, thank you so much. Great talking to you. Coming up, I know you know the name Lance Corporal Jared Schmitz, one of our fallen heroes. Died in Afghanistan. We're going to talk to his dad. His dad has done a fantastic honor to his son's memory, trying to help veterans of all sorts. We're going to tell you more about how you can pitch in. Coming up on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors alongside Mark Cox. My name is Bo Matthews and Carl Middleman.
Pew, pew.
This segment is brought to you proudly by Razorback Armory. They've got a Bullet Points podcast on their website, razorbackarmory.com. You can stop in and talk to them. You're going to get more knowledge than you will at just a regular gun store. And God bless all the gun stores out there, but a gun concierge is different. It's more detailed. It's more specific. And they can get some custom, even fully automatic firearms for you. Check them out online at razorbackarmory.com. They're in De Pere. When you go in, tell them Bo sent you to Razorback Armory.
Absolutely. Want to tell you about an event that is coming up. I know we have a lot of veterans who listen to this show and our radio stations. We appreciate each and every one of you. One of the big stories in St. Louis, unfortunately, in the past 9 months was the death of Lance Corporal Jared Schmitz in Afghanistan, one of 13 who lost their lives there. And just as U.S. troops were pulling out, it was covered all across the country. And we've got Mark Schmitz on the phone with us, the father of Lance Corporal Jared Schmitz, the Marine. And Mark, welcome into Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors, my friend.
Thank you for having me again.
Absolutely. You know, you and I've talked on a number of occasions about the Freedom13.org, this not-for-profit that you put together to kind of help out other veterans. Tell me where that idea came from and kind of what it's grown into.
Well, you know, honestly, we weren't real familiar with veterans out there and the military as a whole until our son joined. And after he was tragically killed, we've been kind of thrust into that world, and we've noticed one common denominator, and that is our veterans have not been taken care of very well by our government. So we felt that Jared's life meant something, and what his purpose was in serving the military, what we wanted to do was pay it back, you know, and pay it forward to the veterans who came before him. And you know, there's wonderful programs out there for service dogs and PTSD and whatnot, but really we really wanted to show our appreciation and give them an opportunity to, you know, sit back and relax and just reboot, maybe make some new friends who also served in the military as well. And by doing so, we've come up with a concept of creating retreat centers across the country and just a place for them to kick back and feel appreciated for what they've done for us and as a country. And we're starting right here locally in Robertsville, Missouri, with a 2.5-acre riverfront property. We are going to be building 13 homes down there for guys to sign up to use the homes for 1 week at a time, similar to an Airbnb.
Wow.
They proved, you know, they pick the house they want the week they want to use it. And as long as it's available and they can prove they are a veteran, they go and use it for free.
That's great. Mr. Schmitz, hats off to you for doing this. You know, when we lost Jared, and I feel like we, the entire country lost Jared, as well as the other 12, you were inundated with interviews and how do you feel and what do you, where are we at in your heart right now, 9 months later? Are you doing better? Is this helping you, this project helping you get stronger after the loss?
This project is my reason for waking up every day.
Good for you.
You know, my wife and I have a very strong, deep faith in God, and we feel Jared around us all the time. Family and friends keep telling me how proud they are, or he is, of us. And, you know, I can't help but to think that there's nothing I can do that's ever going to compare to how proud I am of him. So, you know, with that being said, I'm going to do this the rest of my life as long as I'm physically capable of doing it. And, you know, just... I can't compete with my son, that's for sure, but if I could make him the least bit proud of me compared to how I am of him, then a job accomplished.
Well, I mean, what a legacy. I mean, that's what strikes me about it, is that so often these tragedies happen, and then they become sort of a footnote in history. And what you, I think what you've done here is you've created this legacy in his memory and the memory of the other 12 service members who were killed that day, so that from now on, when this gets built up to what you envision it as one of these days, I mean, people are never going to forget. I think that's one of the keys here, right?
Yeah, and you know, I never do anything small. So I'm looking on trying to grow this thing to be upwards of, you know, tunnels for towers.
Great organization.
Gary Sinise Foundation, that type of level over time. It's going to take time to grow it, of course, but I would love more than anything by the time I'm to be reunited with Jared again, to say that we've got, you know, 20 villages under our belt, you know, in varying states and cities, and, you know, we're able to make a difference for the good for these guys. They deserve it.
Well, and we do want to get out the information at the end of this conversation to let people know when you'll be ready to accept guests in the 13, which I just connected the dots. There's going to be 13 cabins on this property, which represents all of the people. Are you using another venue as kind of your plan that you're working with to go, okay, they did this because, you know, they've already done, you know, the plan ahead of time. They've done this, so we're going to do similar to that. Are you working with other people around the country, as you mentioned?
Well, initially, when this all first started, we were going to target homeless veterans, getting them back off the streets and reacclimated to society. And then I met some wonderful people over at Veterans Community Project. And honestly, these guys have got it figured out, you know, and there's no reason to reinvent the wheel. And ironically, they're building a 50-unit village here in St. Louis on North Grand to do exactly that, get homeless veterans off the street, reacclimated, and back into the workforce. But we actually donated $100,000 to their organization to build two houses, one the house that Jared built and one the house that the Freedom 13 built out of the 50. I support those guys 100%. They've got it figured out. So rather than trying to duplicate what they're already doing, that's why we went the direction of more of a retreat type environment.
Sure, that's smart.
Yeah, so, you know, we'll always be looking for land donations. I talked to a gentleman really early on who had over 100 acres in Colorado. I was not prepared to take that on yet. but, you know, something like that would present a horse ranch or side-by-side UTV, you know, riding type retreat. This one here locally will be more of a fishing type one because it's literally right on the river.
Right.
You know, and that's a great therapy for guys that just need to reboot and re-energize.
Yeah. You know, we're talking to Mark Schmitz, the father of a fallen Marine Jared Schmitz, the Lance Corporal, who lost his life. It was killed in Afghanistan only 9 months ago. You know, Mark, you and I only met, obviously, after this incident. I don't even know, honestly, what you do for a living. Did you have a skill set that lent itself to managing something of this size? Are you learning as you go along? You got other people that are helping you? How are you doing this?
A little bit of both. I run two businesses now. One's a professional photography, videography, drone business. The other is a drink truck, so similar to a food truck, but only a mobile bar instead.
Yeah.
My wife is also self-employed. She runs her own insurance brokerage. So, you know, we kind of come from that world, but this is obviously something completely different. So I'm always open to help, always open to new ideas, speaking to those that actually know what they're doing.
Yeah,
right.
But, you know, we are definitely winging it as we go, but, you know, you learn from your mistakes and hopefully don't repeat them. So I welcome the challenge. It's certainly rewarding, that's for sure.
Well, and it makes you think of your son every single day and his fellow comrades that we lost. So are you looking for volunteers to, like, help man it, help people with the kayaking and the cleaning of the places? And really, more importantly, when will you be up and running and ready for guests?
Okay, so we're projecting probably about a year and a half for this project. We've got to have some of the land graded first. I was told that's going to take about 4 months. As far as volunteers, absolutely we'll be needing them, but right now we don't exactly need them physically. We certainly could use their help spreading the word.
How about people that can move that earth for you? Are you looking for companies that can donate their time and equipment or vice, you know, or one or the other to help level that property you need to?
That would be wonderful. I have spoken to two grading companies so far. Both have donated some of their time.
Right.
One was mentioning if we keep their equipment fueled, they'll donate the equipment and the time. So, you know, things of that nature. You know, I haven't committed to anyone just yet. There's still some moving parts that need to be taken care of first, but, you know, it's definitely not going to be an overnight process. But we'll see. You know, anybody who's got connections in that world, they can certainly reach out to me. I'm happy to talk to just about anyone about it.
Yeah, and we're talking about the current property, 2.5 acres down in Robertsville, plans to develop more across the country as this thing starts to grow. You know, Mark, when I had you on my show the other day, we talked about the fact that roughly the foundation has raised $600,000, something along those lines so far. Clearly, just this project alone might cost you more than double that. Let's talk about the gala that you've got planned now.
Yeah, our first inaugural gala is coming up on May 22nd. It's Sunday afternoon. We'll be leaving port at Yacht Club of St. Charles on the Miss Augusta yacht. It seats 140 people. We still have a handful of tickets remaining. Anybody that's listening to your show can use the coupon code founder 25 for $25 off if they so choose. It's just going to be a great afternoon, hopefully some decent weather. You know, nice, enjoyable cruise along with some live auctions, silent auctions, raffles. I did get confirmation that Congresswoman Lauren Boebert from Colorado will be coming in town for this, and she'll be giving a brief speech. So that's wonderful. I had reached out to her after she stood up during the State of the Union and shouted out, "What about the 13?
Yeah, yeah.
And I called her personally to thank her and invited her, and she actually is coming. So.
Well, that's fantastic. So again, the 22nd, so in about a week and a half, roughly, on a Sunday, you can take part in this. People can go to thefreedom13.org. It's important to include the at the beginning of that, thefreedom13.org, to find out more details, right?
Absolutely. All you have to do is click the events tab, and that'll take them right to the page.
Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors alongside Mark Cox. My name is Bo Matthews and Carl Middleman.
Pew, pew.
This segment is brought to you proudly by Razorback Armory. They've got a bullet points podcast on their website, razorbackarmory.com. You can stop in and talk to them. You're going to get more knowledge than you will at just a regular gun store. And God bless all the gun stores out there, but a gun concierge is different. It's more detailed. It's more specific. And they can get some custom, even fully automatic firearms for you. Check them out online at razorbackarmory.com. RazorbackArmory.com. They're in DePere. When you go in, tell them Bo sent you to Razorback Armory.
Absolutely. Want to tell you about an event that is coming up. I know we have a lot of veterans who listen to this show and our radio stations. We appreciate each and every one of you. One of the big stories in St. Louis, unfortunately, in the past 9 months was the death of Lance Corporal Jared Schmitz in Afghanistan, one of 13 who lost their lives there. And just as U.S. troops were pulling out, it was covered, you know, all across the country. And we've got Mark Schmitz on the phone with us, the father of Lance Corporal Jared Schmitz, the Marine. And Mark, welcome into Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors, my friend.
Thank you for having me again.
Absolutely. You know, you and I have talked on a number of occasions about the Freedom 13, freedom13.org, this not-for-profit that you put together to kind of help out other veterans. Tell me where that idea came from and kind of what it's grown into.
Well, you know, honestly, we weren't real familiar with veterans out there and the military as a whole until our son joined. And after he was tragically killed, we've been kind of thrust into that world, and we've noticed one common denominator, and that is our veterans have not been taken care of very well by our government. So we felt that Jared's life meant something, and what his purpose was in serving the military, what we wanted to do is pay it back, you know, and pay it forward to the veterans who came before him. And you know, there's wonderful programs out there for service dogs and PTSD and whatnot, but really we really wanted to show our appreciation and give them an opportunity to, you know, sit back and relax and just reboot and maybe make some new friends who also served in the military as well. And by doing so, we've come up with a concept of creating retreat centers across the country and just a place for them to kick back and feel appreciated for what they've done for us and as a country. And we're starting right here locally in Robertsville, Missouri, with a 2.5-acre riverfront property. We are going to be building 13 homes down there for guys to sign up to use the homes for 1 week at a time, similar to an Airbnb.
Wow.
They prove, you know, they pick the house they want the week they want to use it. And as long as it's available and they can prove they are a veteran, they go and use it for free.
That's wow. Great. Mr. Schmitz, hats off to you for doing this. You know, when we lost Jared, and I feel like we, the entire country lost Jared, as well as the other 12, you were inundated with interviews. And how do you feel? And what do you? Where are we at in your heart right now, 9 months later? Are you doing better? Is this helping you, this project helping you get stronger after the loss?
This project is my reason for waking up every day.
Good for you.
You know, my wife and I have a very strong, deep faith in God, and we feel Jared around us all the time. Family and friends keep telling me how proud they are, or he is, of us. And, you know, I can't help but to think that there's nothing I can do that's ever going to compare to how proud I am of him. So, you know, with that being said, I'm going to do this the rest of my life as long as I'm physically capable of doing it. And, you know, just... I can't compete with my son, that's for sure, but if I could make him the least bit proud of me compared to how I am of him, then a job accomplished.
Well, I mean, what a legacy. I mean, that's what strikes me about it, is that so often these tragedies happen, and then they become sort of a footnote in history. And what you, I think what you've done here is you've created this legacy in his memory and the memory of the other 12 service members who were killed that day, so that from now on, when this gets built up to what you envision it as one of these days, I mean, people are never going to forget. I think that's one of the keys here, right?
Yeah, and you know, I never do anything small. So I'm looking on trying to grow this thing to be upwards of, you know, tunnels for towers.
Great organization.
Gary Sinise Foundation, that type of level over time. It's going to take time to grow it, of course, but I would love more than anything by the time I'm to be reunited with Jared again, to say that we've got, you know, 20 villages under our belt, you know, in varying states and cities, and
you know, we're able to make a difference for the good for these guys. They deserve it.
Well, and we do want to get out the information at the end of this conversation to let people know when you'll be ready to accept guests in the 13, which I just connected the dots. There's going to be 13 cabins on this property, which represents all of the people. Are you using another venue as kind of your plan that you're working with to go, okay, they did this because, you know, they've already done, you know, the plan ahead of time. They've done this, so we're going to do similar to that. Are you working with other people around the country, as you mentioned?
Well, initially, when this all first started, we were going to target homeless veterans, getting them back off the streets and reacclimated to society. And then I met some wonderful people over at Veterans Community Project. And honestly, these guys have got it figured out, you know, and there's no reason to reinvent the wheel. And ironically, they're building a 50-unit village here in St. Louis on North Grand to do exactly that, get homeless veterans off the street, reacclimated, and back into the workforce. But we actually donated $100,000 to their organization to build two houses, one the house that Jared built and one the house that the Freedom 13 built out of the 50. I support those guys 100%. They've got it figured out. So rather than trying to duplicate what they're already doing, that's why we went the direction of more of a retreat type environment.
Sure, that's smart.
Yeah, so, you know, we'll always be looking for land donations. I talked to a gentleman really early on who had over 100 acres in Colorado. I was not prepared to take that on yet. but, you know, something like that would present a horse ranch or side-by-side UTV, you know, riding type retreat. This one here locally will be more of a fishing type one because it's literally right on the river.
Right.
You know, and that's a great therapy for guys that just need to reboot and re-energize.
Yeah. You know, we're talking to Mark Schmitz, the father of a fallen Marine Jared Schmitz, the Lance Corporal, who lost his life. It was killed in Afghanistan only 9 months ago. You know, Mark, you and I only met, obviously, after this incident. I don't even know, honestly, what you do for a living. Did you have a skill set that lent itself to managing something of this size? Are you learning as you go along? You got other people that are helping you? How are you doing this?
A little bit of both. I run two businesses now. One's a professional photography, videography, drone business. The other is a drink truck, so similar to a food truck, but only a mobile bar instead.
Yeah.
My wife is also self-employed. She runs her own insurance brokerage. So, you know, we kind of come from that world, but this is obviously something completely different. So I'm always open to help, always open to new ideas, speaking to those that actually know what they're doing.
Yeah,
right.
But, you know, we are definitely winging it as we go, but you know, you learn from your mistakes and hopefully don't repeat them. So I welcome the challenge. It's certainly rewarding, that's for sure.
Well, and it makes you think of your son every single day and his fellow comrades that we lost. So are you looking for volunteers to, like, help man it, help people with the kayaking and the cleaning of the places? And really, more importantly, when will you be up and running and ready for guests?
Okay, so we're projecting probably about a year and a half for this project. We've got to have some of the land graded first. I was told that's going to take about 4 months. As far as volunteers, absolutely we'll be needing them, but right now we don't exactly need them physically. We certainly could use their help spreading the word.
How about people that can move that earth for you? Are you looking for companies that can donate their time and equipment or vice, you know, or one or the other to help level that property you need to?
That would be wonderful. I have spoken to two grading companies so far. Both have donated some of their time.
Right.
One was mentioning if we keep their equipment fueled, they'll donate the equipment and the time. So, you know, things of that nature. You know, I haven't committed to anyone just yet. There's still some moving parts that need to be taken care of first. But, you know, it's definitely not going to be an overnight process. But we'll see. You know, anybody who's got connections in that world, they can certainly reach out to me. I'm happy to talk to just about anyone about it.
Yeah, and we're talking about the current property, 2.5 acres down in Robertsville, plans to develop more across the country as this thing starts to grow. You know, Mark, when I had you on my show the other day, we talked about the fact that roughly the foundation has raised $600,000, something along those lines so far. Clearly, just this project alone might cost you more than double that. Let's talk about the gala that you've got planned now.
Yeah, our first inaugural gala is coming up on May 22nd. It's Sunday afternoon. We'll be leaving port at Yacht Club of St. Charles on the Miss Augusta yacht. It seats 140 people. We still have a handful of tickets remaining. Anybody that's listening to your show can use the coupon code founder 25 for $25 off if they so choose. It's just going to be a great afternoon, hopefully some decent weather, you know, nice, enjoyable cruise along with some live auctions, silent auctions, raffles. I did get confirmation that Congresswoman Lauren Boebert from Colorado will be coming in town for this, and she'll be giving a brief speech. So that's wonderful. I had reached out to her after she stood up during the State of the Union and shouted out, "What about the 13?
Yeah.
And I called her personally to thank her and invited her, and she actually is coming. So,
well, that's fantastic. So again, the 22nd. So in about a week and a half, roughly on a Sunday, mm-hmm. you can take part in this. People can go to thefreedom13.org. It's important to include the at the beginning of that, thefreedom13.org, to find out more details, right?
Absolutely. All you have to do is click the events tab, and that'll take them right to the page regarding the gala.
Well, I also want to point out that, you know, there's a lot of generous people that support our military and our fallen military, that if you're an electrician or a plumber or a land grader or whatever, and you want to volunteer, that website will also connect them to you, correct?
That is correct. And we'll certainly be updating it as we go, letting people know what we're in need for as the time comes. I've been kind of trying to keep a database of all the people that have volunteered so far.
Sure.
You know. So we'll just keep that list growing and certainly reach out to everybody as we need them.
So excited for you, man. What a great mission to be on, Mark. It really is good talking to you again.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, Mark, listen, always a pleasure. Any way we can ever help you out on my show there on 97.1, you be sure and just reach out and we'll get you on there.
I appreciate that. And we're definitely going to need as many funds as we can get. I know this first project's going to have a price tag close to $2 million. So we got a long way to go, but we'll get there.
Absolutely. Mark Schmitz, thanks for your time today.
Thank you very much.
You bet. Great to get Mark on here again. TheFreedom13.org. That's coming up May 22nd. Their kickoff gala. It's going to be on a cruise. You get to go on a boat cruise. You buy your tickets. They're going to have live auction items on there. You can listen to Lauren Boebert. He said there were only a handful of tickets left, so you better snatch those up. It's something you want to take part in.
Yeah, just a week out. TheFreedom13.org. You know, a lot of great information here that we've shared on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. If you liked what you heard, please share the podcast and to your friends and family and spread it around. Put it on your own social media.
Yeah, no kidding. That does it for us, this edition of Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next time around.
See you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.